So God's people were about to face a new season. Things hadn't always gone well for them. Life together definitely had had its ups and downs. There had been internal disputes, complaining, difficulty trusting one another, and a lot of doubting whether God was really at work. After a long time with the same leader, the people were now facing a change in leadership. And while it was clear that God was calling them into a new season, what was unclear was what this new season would be like. The hope was that it would be better, a season of thriving in wonderful ways. But still, it was a journey into the unknown, and the unknown is always scary. It was easy to fear what lay ahead. What would following God into this new season entail? What changes and sacrifices would it require? What risky steps of faith would be required? Would the new leader be able to provide good leadership? And how would it all turn out? Lots of questions, no clear answers. The only thing that was clear was that God was calling them to be on the move. Listen to God's word from Joshua chapter 3. And if you want to follow along, it's on page 195 of your pew Bibles. Listen to God's word. Early in the morning, Joshua rose and set out from Shittim with all the Israelites, and they came to the Jordan. They camped there before crossing over. At the end of 3 days, the officers went through the camp and commanded the people, "When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, your God, being carried by the Levitical priests, then you shall set out from your place. Follow it, so that you may know the way you should go, for you have not passed this way before. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, a distance of about 2,000 cubits. Do not come any nearer to it." Then Joshua said to the people, "Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you." The Lord said to Joshua, "This day I will begin to exalt you in the sight of all Israel, so that they may know that I will be with you as I was with Moses. You are the one who shall command the priests who bear the Ark of the Covenant. When you come to the edge of the waters of the Jordan, you shall stand still in the Jordan." And then skipping down to verse 14. When the people set out from their tents to cross over the Jordan, the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant were in front of the people. Now the Jordan overflows all its banks throughout the time of harvest. So when those who bore the Ark had come to the Jordan, and the feet of the priests bearing the Ark were dipped in the edge of the water, the waters flowing from above stood still, rising up in a single heap far off at Adam, the city that is beside Zarethan, while those flowing towards the Sea of the Arabah, the Dead Sea, were wholly cut off. Then the people crossed over opposite Jericho. While all Israel were crossing over on dry ground, the priests who bore the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood on dry ground in the middle of the Jordan until the entire nation finished crossing over the Jordan. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you so much for the ways that you have acted in human history and that you caused it to be written down so that we could know of your powerful works and your faithfulness to your people. God, we pray that you would take these words and help them come alive in our hearts, that we would know you more, that we would love you more, that we would trust you more, and that we would follow where you lead. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So the people of God had probably gotten pretty comfortable. 40 years in one place, on the wrong side of the Jordan from the land flowing with milk and honey that God had promised them. Maybe they weren't really comfortable, since it was wilderness after all, as opposed to the fertile ground that lay on the other side of the Jordan. But at least it was known. The very little that they knew about what was happening across the river, gave them reason to fear. They were said to be giants in the land, or at least people who could easily vanquish them if they made attempts to cross over into that land. And yet that was exactly what God was calling them to do. Cross the Jordan and enter into the land that God had promised them. After 40 years, the generation of people who had doubted God's ability to help them conquer the land had now died. Moses had transferred his mantle of leadership to Joshua, one of the only spies who believed God would be with them if they followed God's leading into the promised land. Would Joshua be a good leader? Or was he still one of those optimistic, idealistic types that aren't really in touch with the reality of the situation? It's not like the people had always trusted Moses and his leadership, but they could never deny that God was with Moses. When they thought back to that defining moment, when they were fleeing Egypt, when Moses parted the Red Sea, allowing them to successfully escape Pharaoh's pursuing army. Now they were about to see what kind of leader Joshua was. And of course they wondered, was God with Joshua like he had been with Moses? When we look at this narrative we just read, we realize that everyone in this narrative is taking risky steps of faith. The stakes were high. Following Joshua to cross the Jordan could be a death sentence for them all. The priests were risking their lives and stepping into a river that was overflowing its banks, plus taking the less life-threatening risk of looking really stupid if nothing happens when they step into the Jordan with all the people of Israel following them. Joshua's whole career and reputation was on the line. He isn't calling for a tentative small step to verify that God is with them. He's all in calling for this move. Who knows what kinds of things people might be saying about him behind his back? Maybe that he's some kind of Moses wannabe who thinks he too can orchestrate a miraculous water crossing. The move is big. Calling the priests and all the people of Israel lining up behind them to step into the Jordan River, trusting that God will enable them to cross over. This move will either validate Joshua's leadership or shroud him in shame. When God called Joshua into leadership, he told him to be strong and courageous, for the Lord is with him. And that's exactly what Joshua is doing. Joshua is taking God at his word and betting everything on God doing what he said he would do. Many years ago, when I was part of a big young adults group at Menlo Park Presbyterian Church, we came into the sanctuary for the first meeting of the new program year, and we were greeted with loud music. It was Kenny Loggins' Welcome to the Danger Zone. How many of you remember that from Top Gun, the movie Top Gun? This was not our typical greeting, and the reason that was playing was that the steering team that year had decided that the theme for the year ahead would be the year of living dangerously. That is, they were going to challenge us to take our faith more seriously and to be on the lookout for where God was calling us to take risky steps forward in faith. So I found some irony that that was the theme, because just a few days before, I had signed up for an upcoming bungee jump. Without knowing it, I was already living into the theme. Little did I know that this bungee jump would be an amazing spiritual experience for me, as it provided a huge metaphor for trusting God and taught me some important spiritual lessons that prepared me for an upcoming step of faith that God was going to call me to. The weeks leading up to the jump passed with a lot of questioning on my part. Why had I signed up for this? Was I purposely choosing to defy death and hopefully win? Could I picture what this would feel like? I learned a lesson about facing the complete unknown, that once you made the decision, hopefully informed by common sense, and in this case, good safety statistics, it really doesn't help to agonize over it, trying to imagine what it would be like. Similarly, on the day of the jump, while I awaited my turn, it wasn't helpful to think too much about it. I found myself just telling myself one thing and trying to block out the rest. When they count down to one, I fall back. When they count down to one, I fall back. So finally, my turn came, and with my heart in my throat, the people on the ground counted down to one, and I fell back. And it still makes my heart race to think about it. I remember trying to describe the experience to people, and I said it was this funny mix between joy and terror, but a lot closer to terror. But boy, was it exhilarating. And I knew that I was screaming all the way down, but I got the video, and further review showed that I screamed all the way down, all the way up on the first bounce, and most of the way down on the next one. And then I switched to this sort of victorious stance of woohoo. So I don't recommend it for everyone, but like I said, God used that experience to teach me big lessons about trusting God, especially when it means facing fears and taking risky steps forward. One of my first lessons was just a very practical lesson in managing one's fear about an upcoming scary step. Before the jump, I made an informed decision that I was going to trust the bungee jumping company. This was not a death wish jump off a crane with nothing to catch me. I had good reason to believe that the bungee company knew what they were doing, and that when I jumped, the bungee cord would hold me and keep me safe. From there, I literally needed to stop thinking about it, stop trying to anticipate it, what it would be like, stop thinking about the what ifs, and stop paying attention to all the horror stories of what could go wrong that people felt compelled to tell me. When God calls us to take a risky step forward in faith, we will paralyze ourselves if we analyze all the what ifs, try to prepare for absolute every potentiality, or think that we can figure out just how it's going to play out. Trusting God means that we believe that God will be there with us, no matter how it plays out. That God will be working in whatever circumstances that follow. And that God will be there to guide us through any challenges that arise and redirect us if necessary. When I did the bungee jump, that first descent felt to my body like free fall. In fact, until the bungee cord started kicking in, it actually was free fall. But it was free fall with an important difference. Even if my body didn't feel it, my mind knew that there was a bungee cord that was eventually going to stop my fall. The lesson I learned from this was that risky steps forward in faith will still feel scary. That initial plunge might feel just as scary as if you truly were all on your own. But the reality is that we're not on our own, and we're not in free fall. God, like the bungee cord, is right there with us. There's a huge difference between taking that step without God or taking it with God. A third lesson was the difference between believing and hoping something was true and knowing from personal experience that something is true. I believed and hoped that the bungee cord would keep me safe, but after I jumped, I knew it for sure. We learn to know that God is trustworthy when we take risky steps forwards in faith and experience for ourselves that God can be trusted. Soon after that bungee jump, I started to sense that God was prompting me toward a risky step of faith, one that I've talked about many times because it was a defining moment in my faith journey. These lessons in facing fear and trusting God resulted in it being a year of living dangerously as I began facing more fears of all kinds and as I contemplated quitting my job and going to seminary. I actually used the bungee jump story in my application to Fuller Seminary. And in an interesting bit of timing and confirmation on God's part, the day that I drove down to start at Fuller was exactly the 1 year anniversary of my bungee jump. God had used that crazy stunt to launch a year and a new season of living dangerously, a season of leaving my comfort zone and trusting that God was with me. With the crossing of the Jordan, The people of Israel were launching into a new season of living dangerously, becoming once again on the move and following God into the unknown, trusting him to protect, provide, and to guide. That is where we are as a church as well, in a few different ways. One, as we begin our new program year, taking new steps of faith as we launch our midweek program, as we continue to take different steps with respect to stewardship and budgeting, and as we seek to live into a new vision. But also as we are clearly on the brink of a new season with new leadership, as we prayerfully await the selection and arrival of our new senior pastor. Several years ago, when things were particularly challenging for us as a church, I was so aware of how the challenges were so much bigger than anything I or we could handle on our own. I was learning yet another lesson in trust that comes when we recognize that our situation is out of our control, that we're powerless to make any significant difference, and that we have no choice but to lean hard on God. At that time, I was talking to an associate pastor of another church who was sharing about the lessons she was learning, about how she had to trust God with things going on in the church that were much bigger than her. At first, I thought, oh, maybe we're going through something similar, until she continued by explaining that her church was going through an amazing revival, something way bigger than she could control, and she just had to trust God and go along for the ride. My first thought was to be a bit jealous. We were both learning the same lesson, but she got to learn it in the fun way, through things being out of her control because they were going so great. But then I remembered that her church had gone through its own challenging season that God had brought them through. Instead of it making me jealous, I realized that her experience was one that could give me hope. That on the other side of trusting God with the hard, scary stuff, could be trusting God with all the blessings he had in store. Joshua tells people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. The people of Israel needed to get right with God, to contemplate again their covenant with God and with one another, and to recommit to living into that covenant. They needed to redirect their focus on God and his goodness, his power, and his love. They needed to remember God's faithfulness in the past that could help them trust him with their risky steps forward in faith into the future. Then God would move in spectacular ways, and they would recognize that it was God at work. As we seek to be on the move, I believe that God is calling us to this same action, to sanctify ourselves, to renew our focus on God, to remember that this is God's church and not ours, and that he loves it even more than we do. We need to remind ourselves how God has been trustworthy in the past, which is going to be a big focus of next week's service. We need to remember that this church is not just about us and what we want, but is about how God wants to bless the world through us. I think about the behavioral covenant that we've made with one another, to seek God's heart, to listen to one another thoughtfully, and to speak collaboratively. It's time for us to recommit to living into that covenant in our life together, which is really to say that we're to live into Christ's call to be known that we're his disciples through the love that we have and that we show to one another. If we're murmuring or complaining among ourselves about something that's going on in the church, we are to seek resolution through open and honest communication. If we still carry grudges, it's time for us to seek reconciliation. We are to commit and recommit ourselves to prayer for ourselves, for one another, for the church, and for the world. We are to put our focus on God and what God wants to do in us and through us. From there, we need to recognize that God is calling us to step forward in faith, both as individuals and as a congregation as a whole. As we enter into this new program year, I encourage all of us to reflect on how God might be calling us as individuals to step forward in faith. Is God calling you to extend the time you give to your faith beyond just Sunday mornings? Calling you to get more involved in this faith community by getting to know others and allowing yourself to be known? Inviting you to join a small group or class? I remember God calling me to what felt like a very risky step in that young adults group, to make a commitment to being part of a small group. And it was amazing how God used that step to grow my faith. Is God calling you to a new role of leadership or involvement that will require a sacrifice or a commitment that you're reluctant to make? Is God calling you to the risky step of seeking reconciliation with someone either inside or outside of this congregation? Maybe calling you to humble yourself and make the first move. Is God calling you to get unstuck from a problem or issue or addiction that has plagued you, taking the risky step of seeking help or reaching out and accepting help that is being offered? Is God calling you to reorganize your priorities, to make room in your life to serve Him in new ways, to take a risky step of committing to reach out to someone in caring ways, or to get involved in some issue that is close to God's heart? And what risky steps of faith might God be calling us to as a congregation? Is God calling us to give more of ourselves, even in this time of relative limbo as we await a new senior pastor? Is God calling us to take bolder steps in mission, steps that get us more involved relationally with those we seek to serve? Is God calling us to be bold with our resources by seeking God-sized goals, instead of continuing with business as usual? Is God calling us to let go of the familiar and be ready to do things in a new way? Is God calling us to be more radical in the welcome that we give to all people, especially those who are different from us? Is God calling us to a year of living dangerously, taking new risks to share the gospel of Christ? Let us take a moment of silence for us to reflect on how God might be calling us to sanctify ourselves, and how He might be calling us as individuals and as a church to take risky steps forward in faith. And then after that time of silence, let's pray together that we would be open to the wonders that God wants to do in and amongst us. Let us pray. God, you are good, you are faithful, and you are to be trusted. God, I do pray for each of us as individuals and as a congregation that this would be a year that we would take new risky steps forward in faith. God, I pray that you would be showing us what those are, that you would be speaking to us individually, that you would be speaking to our session, our leadership, that you would be speaking to and through your people. God, we pray that we would learn to trust you more. God, that we would take those steps of faith and see that you're trustworthy. God, I pray for how you can just multiply the impact that this church can make if we really trust you and step out where you're leading. God, I thank you for each person here and for the work that you are doing in their lives and the work that you are calling them to and that you want to do in their lives. May we be open to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.